to Bethel Baptist Church, and especially to this beautiful day on Mother's Day. I have a quotation here from Lincoln's, President Lincoln's mother. Her favorite text of the Bible was Psalm 9 in verse 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Here's the quotation from our president's mother. "As a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible." What a wonderful mother. No wonder President Lincoln was the man that he was. I invite you to turn your hymn books to number 449 in honor of mothers today. This is a wonderful song. "To God be the glory, because he have given us mothers." All right? Number 449. Mother's Day will be proper to sing together 525, "A Christian Home." And we ask always to stand for the last hymn as we prepare ourselves for prayer after the hymn. Number 525, "A Christian Home."
We
To the Lord in prayer, please, together as this precious day unfolds before the presence of God. Father, we come in this precious day today to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And it is obvious that being Mother's Day, our heart are touched by the emotions of the remembrance of our mother. Some people do have the privilege to have their mothers with them today. And so, Father, I pray that we raise our appreciation of how much we have learned from them, how much our influence of their life is in our life, and how much of their counsel is still with us. Father, for those who our mothers have departed, we pray that remembering our mother, we also will remember the time where she taught us about God. And she brought into our mind and into our heart the presence of Christ our Lord. How grateful we are for mothers who in detail and with great love and compassion have touched our life. And so, Father, today as we open the service, we are touched by the day and the dedication of this beautiful day to those who with great love, with a compassion that surpasses any compassion that we know, the mothers
who touch our life, who care for us, who never tire, always willing, always ready. Lord, thank you for motherhood. You have created a woman, and that woman is a symbol of motherhood. Lord, thank you. Thank you that today we even can look in the Bible and see the expressions of the love of God and the compassion of God in some of the women that you have brought to our attention in the scripture. Thank you, Father. As a church body, we are also thankful that you touch our life with the presence of God and with the compassion of God. As a church body, we are thankful that we have missionaries abroad. And we pray for each one of them, knowing that they are away from their homes, away from their mothers. We pray, Father, that the comfort of knowing that they are doing God's will reveal to them the strong feeling that they are doing the work of the ministry for God Himself. Father, bless those in Spain and Ukraine. Bless the center here in Gilroy and in Morgan Hill, who is like a light in the middle of a storm for those who need help. Bless our brother Zahert in Lodi as he ministered the gospel to the Spanish-speaking people in the area. And Lord, we pray for our church because we do have a large congregation. Each time that I go places, people tell me they are listening. And so, Father, we pray for those who are in the internet. Thousands of them are listening through the internet and through the radio KKMC and through the tape ministry. And you have given us that kind of gift to us, that kind of ministry to us, unique in form and unique in style, but it's our ministry, and we want to use it for your glory. And we want to use it to show Jesus and Jesus alone to people, to show them that the gospel of Christ is a gospel of faith, of hope, and love. And help me, O God, today to communicate that kind of gospel so that when people leave this place, or when they turn off the radio, or when they shut off the computer, Father, there will be people who have grown in faith, in hope, and in love because of Christ. And Father, when the day is over, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. And above all, we thank you, Lord, for the absolute supply that you bring to our church. Unexpectedly, your people are yielding themselves to you. And because of that, we have received sufficient funds to carry on the ministry. So, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you. Today, in these brief moments after the offertory, I want to say to you, especially to all the mothers who are listening to this program, thank you for being mothers. Thank you for your womanhood. Thank you for your motherhood. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to grow under your leadership. May God bless you. May God supply the energy. May God supply your need. May God embrace you and lift you up. May your children honor you today and forevermore. God bless the mothers of America. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. That's the entire chapter. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 222. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you because you have mercy on whom you will have mercy. We can again come into your presence to worship you and bring our petitions to you and give thanks that you have graciously drawn us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we look at Hannah in the scriptures today, we give you thanks that you have raised up many godly women and mothers like Hannah that have dedicated their children to you, many here in this congregation for which we give you all the glory. We pray for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless his teaching from your word, that it may be profitable to the hearers and salvation to any who are unsaved. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And I will use the microphone right on the pulpit for those who are working on the monitor. This morning, I would like to, in view of the beautiful day that we have today, Mother's Day, I would like to call your attention to a passage of the Old Testament. And there is a reason for this. In the book of Romans, in chapter 15 and in verse 4, the Bible instructed us, telling us what the Old Testament is for. The book that I hold in my hand have two major divisions. One is called the Old Testament or the Old Covenant between God and Israel. And the other is called the New Testament of the New Covenant between God and the New Israel. And both books are, both sections are the Bible. And they are exactly talking about the same thing. One before the cross of Calvary and the other after the cross of Calvary. But the Bible explains in the New Testament why we have the Old Testament. In Romans 15 and in verse 4, the Apostle Paul said to the people of Rome, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have a hope. And it's my intention that you leave today the service with a great hope built in your heart because of the great hope that God will give you as we look upon the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. Today, being Mother's Day, I want to honor the day by looking in the Old Testament to a mother. And the scripture for our meditation then will be on the basis of 1 Samuel chapter 1. As you know, I don't know if you are familiar with Samuel, and perhaps will be proper for me to tell you something about Samuel, and that's why I picked Hannah, his mother. There are many mothers in the Old Testament that we can talk about it, but there is a reason why I picked Hannah, and the main reason is her son, Samuel. Samuel emerges after a period of 350 years called the Judges. God was directly ruling Israel by his very presence through Moses. And when they went to Egypt, the people of Israel want a king, just like the Egyptians. And God gave them judges, of which Samuel was one of them. He appeared on the scene of the Israel history during one of the darkest periods of the history of Israel, when everything was chaos, and there was no government and no law. And he called the people to a revival and to a true worship of Jehovah. Samuel did. One man alone, called the entire nation through a revival and to the entire worship of Jehovah. He was a king maker. God used him to anoint two kings in Israel, the first king Saul and the second king David. And so Samuel became a very good instrument in the hands of God. And Samuel, when you see the word Samuel, you have to think in this way. There is a link between the judges and Israel. It's like if in America we had no more president, no more House of Representatives, no more Senate, and you have the Justice Department only. That was the period of Israel where the Justice Department only was the only thing they had. And Samuel then became the last judge, and then became the one who gave Israel the opportunity to have a kingship. He was a prophet, he was a judge, he was a historian. First King, Second King, First Chronicle, and Second Chronicle come under the pen of Samuel. He was the one who wrote it. Now, having said this, now you know the reason why I want to talk about Samuel. He was a key man in the history of Israel. And he was a superb man in the hands of our God. I can say that again. He was a superb man in the hands of our God. Well, I envy that. A man that was molded by God, and he did just what God said. Makes me cry. Now, I want you to know that in the Old Testament, motherhood was of vital importance. And I don't have the time, otherwise I will show you over and over the scripture. You will find the expression, and this king did according to his mother's way. You also will find the expression, like his mother was the king on the land. You find also the expression that his mother taught him to do this. And the kings became mighty because of his mother's teaching, and so on. So I have to say that motherhood is the key to the makeup of a man. Motherhood is the key to the makeup of a man. And so in Samuel's life, his mother was the key person, and the makeup of this gorgeous man of God. He became a bridge between the judges and the kingdom, a prophet of remarkable blessing to Israel, restoring Israel to God's rule. I think it will be proper to investigate what kind of mother he had that produces a man like Samuel. Perhaps these names in the Old Testament do not mean anything to you, but I'm just going to just throw the meaning of them. Hannah means grace. And as we're going to study Hannah, you're going to see the grace of God on Hannah. The second wife of this fellow, Peninnah, means a beauty of pearl, a beauty of pearl. And of course, Samuel, as our brother have read, Samuel, the last word, El, means God. Samuel means asking of God. And that's the expression of her mother. Elkanah, the husband, means the firstborn of God. And he was the firstborn in the family of Korah, a very godly man, a very wonderful man in the period of history. So now I want to see Hannah. You know a little bit of the background, and it will be proper for me to show you Hannah. Three things I want to show you about Hannah, and I hope that we have a complete time to understand it in a practical lesson. I know this, many things, but these three remarkable things are important. She was a sorrowful woman. She was a sorrowful woman. Verse 2. Unexpected, no? A successful man like Samuel, you think the mother will have an easy life. It was no easy for her. A very sorrowful woman. Number two, he was a godly woman, or as the Old Testament called, a virtuous woman. She was a virtuous woman, verse 10. And I explain to you why. And then, in chapter 2, there are many songs written by women, like Mary, when Jesus. And she have a son in chapter 2. We're going to look on it. She was a compassionate woman. A compassionate woman. All right? I want you young people to see these kind of women and to thank God for the mother that has given you a godly mother, I'm sure. Number one, she was a sorrowful woman. If you look in the scripture in 1 Samuel, in chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible said that there was a certain man, or Ramathaim. Rama means two, Thaim, mountain, a man who lived between two mountains. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Joroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, the Ephratite. Now, verse 2 tells me something that indicates the sorrow of these women. And he had two wives. Yes, you read it right. He has two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other is Penina. Now, Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. I'll have to elaborate on this, so in your American culture, you never will understand what's going on here. Hannah was the first wife, and Penina was the second wife. Why? I thought to myself, you know, I pondered a lot on this, because it disturbed me when I read that. Will you share your husband with somebody, even if the law accepted? Very hard, no? Don't you think? My heart still pumping. It's very hard. Hannah was the first wife. How do I know that, that this man did this? Well, you don't have to look on it, but in Deuteronomy 21 and in verse 15, Moses, or God through Moses, is preparing Israel to go back to the land. They spent 400 years in Arabian territory in Egypt. And the Arabs may have as many wives as one who gave them a male child. Until a woman do not give a man a male child, she do not have a home. She only have a house. That's the law and the Muslim law. So then God preparing Israel, because they copy the customs. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 15, the Bible says, if the man have two wives, one beloved and the other hated. One beloved and the other hated. And then develop the rules and how the man has to behave with the wife and so on. Now, I want you to look in verse 5 in 1 Samuel 1 in verse 5. And look what the Bible said. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. The word worthy over there means two. He gave a double portion, and that was according to the law in Deuteronomy 21. For he loved Hannah. See? He loved Hannah. Are you saying, Pastor, this man do not love the two wives? No. He loved Hannah, and now he has to get another wife to have children, to have male children. And so he learned the customs of the country, was legally in the country, that what he did. It was not right before God, though, but it was legal in the country. And he said, well, I have one wife, and she doesn't have a, I love Hannah, but she doesn't give me a male child, and so I have no home. And so therefore, he has to acquire another woman, and these women gave him children. Now, how can Christians or godly people do that? Well, remember what I said, that Samuel is a bridge between the judges and so on. Now, because it's close to you, look in the page before 1 Samuel, you have Ruth, but before that, Judges, in chapter 21 and verse 25. Judges 21, just a few pages on your left. Judges 21 and verse 25. Look what happened. This is what happened in the land at this particular moment. In those days, there was no king in Israel. I'm reading Judges 21 and verse 25. There was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eye. See, and it's coming like that in the United States, don't we? Each state is doing what they want in their own right. And they are changing the basic laws of Christianity. I was encouraged by the cardinal I think it was in Massachusetts, in honor of Cardinal O'Connor, when he said from the pulpit that the church have no change. And I stood up when I heard that and salute the cardinal. The church believe in marriage of a man and a woman. And the church believe a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And what a courage in front of the whole authorities, the highest authorities of the land and the universe. The church has to proclaim with kindness and gentleness, but with firmness, the truth of God. And the reason why the church was not strong is because the whole thing was a mess. In those days, there was no king. There was no ruling. There was nobody telling what to do. And therefore, everybody did what they want to. It's like if your own home, you say, well, in our home, anybody can do what you want to. You will see the chaos you will have when your children become 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. You will get in a mess. And we are in that mess today. Now, these women have that kind of thing. Now, we can say that Hannah had a house, but she did not have a home. Now, you understand the Hebrew background. Hannah has a house, but she did not have a home. So the ideal of every Jewish woman was to comfort of their home. But she had no child, no family, and no home under the circumstances of that particular time. Now, it is true also that she had a devoted husband who loved her and bestowed upon her precious gift demanded by Deuteronomy 21. If you have two wives, one that you love and have no child, and the other you hate, that means that you acquire because you need to have it for children, you need always to give double presents to the first wife you love. Laws that you and I would not never understand today, but these were the laws. And this husband fulfilled the law. He wanted to obey the law. See, she was childless, and therefore she had no home according to the custom of her time. Now, as the years went by, her agony became intense, and her barrenness was greater burden because of the jealousy and heartlessness of her rival Peninnah. And I show it to you in the scripture from verses 6 to 9. Let's read this and see what this Peninnah, this pearl, this beautiful pearl, did to Hannah. Verse 6 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And her adversary, even the Bible called the second woman adversary, so you can see God's not pleased with this. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord has shut up her womb. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Now remember those words, because it's going to end beautiful. It's going to end glorious. But remember those words, and she did not eat. Now what happened, ladies, when you are under stress, you don't want to eat, all right? That's what happened. Now remember those words, because God brings those words back. And verse 9, Hannah rose up after they had eaten, and Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And now Eli, the priest, sat down and sat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And so Hannah is in agony, is under stress. She is weeping. And verse 8, the husband asked her, why don't you eat? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than 10 sons? That's also a requirement of the law. If this second wife will give the man 10 boys, he need to double 10 times the gift of the first wife. Boy, you need to have money to have this kind of thing. I look on it and I'm trying to calculate. So, how much this costs? You know, it's just tremendous. But I tell you, money is not a substitute for love, don't we, ladies? You will not substitute money or gift for the love of a man. It's not changing. So she was a sorrowful woman. I thought these women will complain in prayer. I thought these women will say, why me, Lord? Have we ever said that when we are in trouble and we are under stress, sometimes we say, Lord, how much I can take it? No complaints. Only sorrowful that she cannot please the husband. No blaming to God. You know, great when you find a lady that never blame anybody, that they just feel sorrow for feeling sorrow. Remarkable. Remarkable. Now, she was a very godly woman. Look at verse 10. She was a godly woman or a virtuous woman. Although the Lord had shut up her womb, her heart was still open toward God. In verse 10, we read, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She prayed unto the Lord. All right? So we can say that Hannah was childless, but no prayerless. Is that right? She was childless, but no prayerless. You got ladies, when you are a virtuous lady, when you're a godly lady, yes, you could be childless, but no prayerless. According to verse 11, she besought the Creator to raise her into the empire of motherhood. Look at verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. See, it's important. Not just a child. A man had to be. Otherwise, the woman is no woman. She had to produce a man child. All right. Look at this. The handmaid, a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor, mean Nazarene, come upon his head. What do you mean? What do you mean, Hannah? You mean you're going to pray for that boy of your dream, for that junior to come in. And when the junior comes, you're going to give it back to God? Yes, sir. Let me cry. Is not this giant love? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this love is hard to see today. This is a giant love. Lord, if you give me a child and then you prove me that I'm a woman, then I'll give it back to you. Wow. And she prayed not that Peninnah's joy may cease, but rather that God be glorified. You notice that? She don't pray a word against Peninnah. If I'm her, I said, Lord, get that girl out of here, you know? But no, she didn't. Look at what she said in verse 11. Again, thy handmaid, a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord. Lord, I only want one thing. I just want to prove myself I'm a woman, and then I glorify you and I turn the man to you. Wow. This is absolutely, absolutely remarkable. She was misunderstood. You think a woman like that would be the pastor? Her pastor misunderstood her. Look at verse 12 to 16. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. See, she was praying, you know, silently, but moving her mouth. And now Hannah, she is speaking her heart, only her lips move. But her voice was not heard, therefore Eli thought that she was drunken. These women drink too much wine. Verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. The pastor. Her pastor misunderstood her. And the priest is the highest authority. The pastor misunderstood her. Verse 15, Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. You see her virtuous way to deal? Her sweetness? No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. That's a drunkard, a daughter of the devil. Those who drink, I tell people, be careful. Because a drunkard is a son or a daughter of the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. Now listen to the blessing. And the God of Israel,
grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. And now remember what I said, that she did not eat before? Look at verse 18. The priest said, be a blessing. Now, at that time, the priest was a representative of God. And if the priest said, now God grant unto you this, was a picture of Christ. And so it was done. And she believed it. Look at verse 18. And she said, let the handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. She believed. She had no more problem. She did eat, it said, and her countenance was no more sad. She believed. She said, I went to the Lord. I pray. I got the blessing. At that time in history, the priest is the one who has to physically put the blessing. The priest did. First, he misunderstood her, but he blessed her, and she believed God. It's no great when a woman believes God. No longer worry. No longer worry. Now, chapter 2 will tell me that she was a compassionate woman. Samuel was born. He was dedicated and placed in the hands of the Lord. And I want to, in the few minutes I have, I want to just grasp the entire chapter 2 and tell you a few things about the compassion for God of these women. Number one, Hannah praised God's holiness. Chapter 2 of 2 Samuel in verse 2. Look at what she said about God. She forgot about the problem she had for so long. There is none like holy as the Lord. She believed in the holiness of God. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our rock. Boy, Hannah praises God for his holiness. Hannah praises God for his knowledge. Look at verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. God never misunderstood her. When she prayed, she did not hear a voice from heaven. Oh, you are drunken. She just hears her pastor. You see how limited are your pastors? How limited are? The limitations that we pastors have. Very little knowledge. And then she cursed. She said, the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighted. By him. Wow. She praises God for his knowledge. Hannah praises God for his power. Look at verse 4. The bowels of mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that are hungry cease. So that the barren have borne 7, and she that have many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kill and makes alive. You see now that she really praises God for this complete power in his hand. And then verses 9 to 10, she praises God for his judgment. He will keep the feet of his saints, she said. Wow. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by his strength shall no man prevail. Nobody can do what you want to and be with God. Only God can do it, she said. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. The Lord is a judge, he said. What a theologian. In a song, ladies, I'm sure that from time to time, you have written something to your husband. I took Saturday, a good portion of Saturday, to meditate upon my life with Raquel, and I wrote something. I want to place on the table. With some money. So that way she have a present. But I put my heart out. Put my heart out. My weakness, my strength, my headaches that I have produced, my forgiveness asking. It's good. It's good. And each time I see in the Bible, like Mary expressing her praise to God for the child born, and Hannah. For the child born, a picture of Mary, actually, in the New Testament. What Hannah is saying is this, God has power to answer prayer. That's what she's saying. I pray and God answered. So God, to you be the glory. Thank God. Now,
I want to share with you three lessons that I learned myself from this. I learned from Hannah, I learned from Penina, and I learned from Eli. Three lessons. From Hannah, we learn how to defend our rights in humility and prayer. From Hannah, I have learned that I can defend my rights with humility and prayer. And prayer. I can defend my rights, because she had the right, she was the first wife, with humility and prayer. From Penina, I have learned that our thoughtlessness and loving words of ours can give sorrow to others. So how necessary is to guard our tongue? We must guard our tongue. Because when we speak without thinking, we can hurt somebody. And from Eli, the pastor, he misjudged Hannah. And thus teaching us not to be hasty in our conclusions. Too often we wrong others by misunderstanding their motives. And that's what this pastor did. He looked into Hannah and he said, oh, that's what happened. It never happened. It was a human error. But we can avoid it. So I repeat it again. Hannah, thank you. You taught me to pray with humility. With humility. Not to pray demanding, but to pray with humility. Penina, thank you. You taught me to watch my tongue. So that when I speak, I better think before I say a word. And not to hurt others. There is no need to hurt others. And from Eli, certainly I have learned not to judge. Not to judge. Because after all, I don't know the motives of your heart. Only God knows. What a lesson we have today here in the Bible from Hannah, Samuel's mother. Out of Hannah, then comes that gorgeous, remarkable man that I told you at the beginning, that great prophet of God, that great man that told King Saul, remember in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, when Saul offered the sacrifice, not waiting for Samuel. He said, what you have done? Don't you have a few minutes to wait? You have violated the law of the Lord. And Samuel was going bananas. You have violated the law of the Lord. So the Lord will take you from your position, he said. What a man of God. Remember how he started. He has a mama of God. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful lesson you left for me. To appreciate the woman for her virtues. For her godliness, for her humility, is part of our life. And you have given us an example in Hannah, worthy of imitation of all the ladies of our church. So that these young people that we have here may grow strong in the Lord. Lord, thank you for motherhood. Thank you for godly mothers. In Jesus, I thank you. Amen.
Before I took a breath, before I took a step, unnumbered prayers were spoken just for me. And as I rested peacefully, there in my mother's arms, she dreamed of future could be. She was childhood days are gone, and time keeps moving on. It seems as though the months, the years, quickly slip away. The life of faith she offered, examples of God's grace, is the life I long to share with my children today. Her hands still reach out to lift me when I've fallen. Her arms still hold me when I feel afraid. Her eyes see right through the dark and stormy clouds and point me to a brighter day. Her steps still set a path that I can follow.
Our Heavenly Father, once again we come into thy presence. We have heard thy word. We have learned the lesson. Help us to go home with the hope that prayer is a great tool in your hands. Help us to walk in humility as Hannah did. Help us not to complain, but rather to yield our life to you so that we can bless it later on. Oh God, you have given us hope, the hope of prayer. We thank you, Lord. Bless us as we retire to our dinner hour, where we're going to celebrate again and again the virtue of motherhood. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.